So now I think they try to cram four in there.
The fucking slap in the face is that to the country of Africa?
Raymond Rougeau?
Don Morocco's shirt is a diaper.
Show the world how to do Turkey Day the ravishing way.
I want to watch the action. I don't watch the warrior's ass.
We're bonded together. Ooh, yeah.
These are just two guys rubbing off on each other.
Jesse says that the blazer reminds him of him when he wrestled.
You fucking baptize him in elephant piss?
Headbutting him right in the package.
Powers of Pain team does a damn circle jerk before the match begins.
Let's see how many fucking tags we can make. So this is another example of everybody getting their little something in here.
Oh, yeah.
You think maybe she was inside the Macho Man's robe? Oh, yeah.
I don't care, all right? I'm tired of this shit. I'm tired of it.
I think this is my first and only taste of Scott Casey.
Why are you tasting guys again so often? Tito, Chico.
God, what did the fuck did you just say?
Not Chico.
Tito.
Do you mind the fucking other trampoline?
I mean, Andre the Giant's just bouncing on that thing like a trampoline.
I'm going to jump again.
Weed. You're a fucking idiot. Get the fuck out of here. Remember how you told me you'd never let me down? What the hell do you think that was? You think I was making me proud? You think I was making me proud, Red Rooster? Why don't you cockwalk all the way back there?
And stands, you know, on top of him, shaking his junk right in his face.
And he gets hit with the ass out DDT. Roosters are, I guess, faces, right? Everybody loves Doc. Unscrub that ass.
Like, yeah, we want you to kick him right in the nuts.
Yeah, the stable's the barn. You're a genius, man. You know, you're smarter than you lead on sometimes. You slide it here.
Roll it out.
In association with the Shining Wizards Network, Gorilla Brain Wrestling Podcast presents...
Year of Duke and Rogue. I'm your host, Duke Bags.
Handsome Kevin.
And today we are going to be covering WWF Survivor Series 1988. The second overall, you know... Thanksgiving Day extravaganza.
Yeah.
This son of a bitch took place live on Thanksgiving, Thursday, November 24th, from the Richfield Coliseum in Ohio.
Okay. Two things come to mind. One, Thanksgiving. Football generally all day, right?
Especially these days.
Right. But do you think it would be better if you had your early game? Right? Your 11 o'clocker. Then you move on to your 2 o'clock game. And then you have a little something to eat. And then Survivor Series to cap off the night. Or would you like another football game?
I think the Survivor Series is a nice way to cap off the night.
Okay. Because I was thinking, it kind of makes a weekend out of it, right? Because Thursday, you have off. Friday, majority of people have off. And then Saturday, you have the Survivor Series. So I was thinking you have three football games one day, have the Survivor Series on Saturday. That's a good play, too. I don't think you can go wrong either way.
I kind of wonder how many games they had on Thanksgiving back in the 80s. So now I think they try to cram four in there. But
cramming four in there, huh?
But I know the Lions and Cowboys always have games.
Yeah.
That's been like the tradition, so.
Yeah, yeah.
But hell of a day either way.
It's a great day.
So this is another one of them tapes that I checked out dozens of times from Ole's and the Vid Vault and Lindstrom Video back in the day.
Ole's Video. It's a fucking closet.
What's your favorite Ole's Video moment?
When they closed.
Man, they had the 50-cent rentals for 5 days.
Yeah, well, you wonder why they closed.
I suppose not a good business model, but hell of a deal.
It was like a video store / bait shop. Who fucking goes, man, I got to pick up some worms, some leeches, some minnows, and I might as well pick up When Harry Met Sally in WrestleMania 4, too, while I'm at it.
Yeah, they don't really go together. It's kind of a one or the other type of night.
It was a weird fucking thing, and it was right next to the laundromat. And the laundromat charged like a quarter a load. No wonder why that place went fucking under.
Oh, man. It's right down the road from the old the Lakeside Motel.
Oh, old, yeah.
Correctional big house there. Spent a few nights there back in the day.
Yeah.
Man, this is classic Survivor Series. Teams of five striving to survive. Got four big matches here, including a 10-on-10 five-tag team versus five-tag team contest. So, man, I was looking forward to this one.
Good.
But everything I've heard from you has been not living up to the hype. You got any opening remarks?
Well, yeah, I was really looking forward to it, too, because I do love the Survivor Series. I want to say it's probably, you know, in line with I won't say in line with the Rumble, but the Rumble's probably my favorite. And Survivor Series was always like my kind of my number two a lot of the times. And this was a number two. Like this was a fucking project to get through, man. And I didn't think it would be. I thought I was going to tackle it in one sitting. It's only like 2 hours and 45 minutes long, 2 hours and 55, something like that. Like I figured I would sit down, I'd kick back and I'd enjoy it. But after seeing Jess dressed like a pilgrim and the warrior to kick this bitch off, I pretty much checked out. Like I watched it in increments of matches. Right, that's what I did. I couldn't sit down and watch the whole fucking thing in one sitting. It was rough.
Yeah, this first match is about 20 minutes. The second one is about an hour. And then we got a couple of kind of half hour, 45 minute. You know, so each of these is a little marathon. Something that they added the following year, you know, which was a nice touch, was at the beginning of the show when they had the guys talking about what they're grateful for.
That was great. It still provides great comedy every time you see it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Best line out of the whole thing. I'm thankful I'm not Ricky Rude. That's still my favorite.
So the main event features the team captained by the Mega Powers taking on the Twin Towers team. This is going to be our first taste of Akeem.
Yeah.
So back a month or so ago, One Man Gang's manager Slick announced that the gang was reborn as African, and he planned to embrace his African roots.
It's like some weird fucking twist to some Christian bullshit. I'm reborn, but now I'm from Africa. I don't think shit works that way. You can get citizenship? The fuck is happening here?
Man, you remember this spot on Superstars where he made the transformation, was reborn?
Was it when he was was he walking through the streets and there was like a trash can on fire? Was it that bit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it. Just, I mean, not much is there. And then if you're getting reborn, what the fucking slap in the face is that to the country of Africa? You're getting reborn, but you're doing it as a homeless guy on the streets? Not okay. If you were to be reborn to a different nation, right? And you inherited all the, like, you know, the culture there, and what would you want to be reborn as?
Like a dream of my choosing?
Yeah.
How about like Australian dream?
You want to be an Australian dream? Okay.
Down under.
Yeah, that's a horrible Australian accent. That's a weird pick. Everything in Australia is trying to kill you. Why would you go with that?
It seems like a nice spot, you know. It's an island country.
It's a nice spot to die.
Well, so are the Slick dubs the deepest, darkest parts of Africa, where there's dancers dressed as tribal Africans chanting around that fire you're talking about. So Mean Gene's on location in the ghetto here. So I just thought we better provide a little context.
Oh, you know. Man. Yeah. You happy double T? I still fucking don't get it, though. You can't be reborn into a different nation. That's not the way it works. You can acquire citizenship, sure, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you can move to a place, and after time, you can acquire the accent, right? Something that happens naturally. I still don't know how or why, but it does. But you can't just become reborn. Golly. they fucking baptize him in elephant piss. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
I'm not sure about the specifics of the ritual, but I mean, Akeem delivers a promo where he's, you know, trying to sound like a black guy from the hood. So this is clearly a dig at Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, right?
That's, you know, been the speculation. Yeah.
The Dusty maneuvers and such.
Yeah.
So these fellas are your pick for team of the year, though. You must be pretty excited.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Well, like you mentioned, Gorilla welcomes us here along with Jesse the Pilgrim Ventura. Where do you rank that as far as Jesse get up so far? Last time he was a detective, right. Dressed up pretty nice.
Well, like a journalist detective kind of a guy, yeah. And
a couple of different zebra looks.
He does like the zebra print. As far as looks, man, I don't care for this one. I like that he is in the mood, right? I like that he is in that Thanksgiving mood, right? He wants to really dive in head first, pilgrim style. But overall, I'm just not a fan. But I did think about this when I did see him as a pilgrim. Tony Schiavone loved to dress up. Right. Different events. He was always dressed. There was always a theme. Right. If there was a themed event, he was dressed in that theme. You think he got that from Jesse? Him and Jesse worked together.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was not too long after this, actually, where Schiavone jumped on the, you know, the WWF train for about a year.
Was he there for a year? I thought he was only there for like a couple events.
I'll have to take a deep dive.
I like those.
But I think it was around this time, because I do remember him calling a Brainbusters match.
Okay.
And we get our first taste of the Brainbusters here, too, so this is a big bonus.
Yeah, big bonus.
So, but kind of on the whole here, I mean, the Federation, So the Federation at this time is just constantly getting new talent, right? Yeah. We're going to have Mr. Perfect. I mean, Akeem, he's, you know, one-man gang, but transformed. It's pretty cool seeing some, you know, new additions to the card every time. There's a couple here. I mean, Scott Casey could kind of do without him, but he was actually a last-minute replacement for The Rock, Don Morocco.
Oh, shit.
So Gorilla tells us we got action galore here, and the Warriors music hits. He sends us to the Fink to introduce our first batch of guys. We got Warrior and the Beefcake. They're co-captaining. They got the Blue Blazer, Sam Houston, and Jumpin' Jimmy Brunzel.
Fucking one, Sam Houston doesn't stand a chance. Two, again, the one killer bee is worthless. You need at least two killer bees, right? And this killer bee, he's not even embracing the bee anymore. It's like he's wearing Don Morocco's shirt as a diaper. I don't like it. The other thing I hate about this intro is Brutus and fucking Warrior start shaking the ropes together in unison. Who's rubbing who in this situation?
They're a team, man.
Right, but I mean,
you don't like that unity?
No, I don't. No, I don't. I'm falling out of love with Warrior every time I see him. But they are showing the unity, right? Doing the ropes together. But what about the rest of the guys? How come all of the guys don't walk over, face hard cam, and all of them shake the top rope at the same time? See, that would be unity.
That would have been a nice touch.
These are just two guys rubbing off on each other.
I doubt the Warrior has the leadership skills to, you know, orchestrate something like that. But, yeah, if I were the other guys, I would join in.
Right. Why wouldn't you?
So we're getting our getting a taste of the Blue Blazer here, Owen Hart. Yeah, it's a pretty good showing. But we got the heels. They're captained by the Honky Tonk Man. Decked out in the blue jumpsuit. A little preview of the future Rhythm and Blues as he's joined by Greg the Hammer Valentine. Outlaw Ronnie Bass. The Evil Official Danny Davis and Bad News Brown.
Danny Davis looks much better with his haircut. Did you notice that or no?
Not really, man. It was kind of, you know, you blink, you missed him with Dangerous Danny. He was gone pretty quick.
Yeah, well, he comes in, he gets the sleeper, and he's gone. So see you later, Danny. But I thought his haircut looked better, man.
You like it, huh?
Yeah. Short-haired Danny.
So I got to ask you here, which one of these teams you like better?
You might have never asked me a tougher question in my life. I mean,
I think I would take the Honkies team myself.
I think I would too. It's not an easy call. But yeah, I'd probably take Honkies team. At least there you got, you know, Honky, you got Greg. The other side you got Blue Blazer. That's pretty good.
That's
but then you also have to deal with the fucking Warrior. You got to deal with Sam Houston. You got to deal with fucking Brutus, all that bullshit. So yeah, probably. Yeah, I'd probably go Honky team, too.
So Gorilla says that the hammer, he doesn't get ready until 15 to 20 minutes into the match. What do you think of that take?
That was pretty funny. Like, we've seen him in short matches.
Right.
And it's like,
I don't know where he was going with that.
This match only lasted 6 minutes. You know, waited until about the 18-minute mark, I would really fuck this guy up.
So after the beefer puts Dangerous Danny to sleep in what's got to be record time, mixes it up with the hammer. Hammer gets control, and he delivers a headbutt right to the ball bag of the barber. He proceeds to work over the leg, no doubt trying to set up that figure four. And Blazer gets in there, and he hits a big-time head scissor into a wrist lock. Pretty original move.
That fucking head scissor was one of the things I was actually impressed with in this match. Because he does. He has him in like a fucking an arm lock, and fucking Blazer counters it. Fucking head scissors. I don't see that shit every day. And if you do see it, they do it so quick that you can't actually like take in what they just did. And then they do, you know, alternating Canadian destroyers and ruin my fucking life.
Jesse says that the Blazer reminds him of him when he wrestled.
That was the big call of the night for me.
And the Jumping Jimmy, he gets in there to get him some. And yeah, I'm wondering where the B. Brian Blair is as well. And he's not even wearing the trademark B trunks.
No, I do not like this. I don't like this version. One B, right, cannot stand for his own. It doesn't work that way. You need at least two Bs.
Right.
Boobies.
Well, Jumpin' Jimmy totally missed a dropkick, but Hammer sold it like a champion.
Right.
We saw Jumpin' Jimmy once, probably, what, 25 years ago or something like that?
Yeah, I've seen Jumpin' Jim before. He's still a local guy, and he sells chemicals for a living. Sometimes the truth is funny, I guess. That's what he does. He sells, like, cleaning chemicals.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's a fun fact, I guess. I don't know if it's fun. It's
I don't know. Fact. He's connected to a company I did some work for. So he's just driving up and dropping off the chemicals.
Jumping Jimmy.
Yeah. You need some more floor cleaner?
Just still getting after it out there.
It would be fucking awesome if you showed up and drop kicked nothing. Fucking water heater falls over.
You'd let him give you a dropkick, right?
You think his ass could give me a dropkick? You're out of your mind. He hasn't been training. Have you not listened to me? He's selling chemicals.
You don't think he's got a dropkick left in him?
No. No, I don't. I think he could probably throw a right hook.
Yeah, it's not the same, man. He was known for his dropkicks.
Yeah, exactly.
So bad news, he makes the blind tag, and the loner gets in there and goes to work. He nails the ghetto blaster, and Jumpin' Jimmy's out of there.
So at this point, after the ghetto blaster and Jimmy's gone, is where I really start getting pissed off with the Ultimate Warrior.
He's pumped up, man.
He's fucking... No, he's a jag-off. He keeps on walking in front of Hard Cam. I'm trying to follow the action. Clearly, he doesn't understand the way a TV works. Because the Hard Cam is there, but he just keeps on walking back and forth. And you can't just walk back and forth. You can't just walk back and forth. That's not the way it works. And he just keeps on walking in front of the match. He's in front of the action. I want to watch the action. I don't watch the Warrior's ass.
Pretty selfish move by the Warrior.
Are you surprised? Are you? I'm not. He has no idea what he's doing. Golly, he's just a trouble. He's a troublemaker.
The one thing the Warrior had was that special something because the crowd's up for it. People loved him, man.
I think it's his entrance music.
Well, that's the best part of the gimmick, for sure.
Right.
Racing down there 100 miles an hour.
Right. And then the bell rings, and he sucks.
Let's see Sam Houston in there with his cowboy boots. Takes a wicked big boot from Bad News in the corner, and then delivers a nice-looking leg drop. A little Hulkster combo platter there. It doesn't look like he has laces in those boots, man. We talked about this.
Yeah.
Those are just straight cowboy boots.
They're probably not just straight cowboy boots. I gotta believe that there's some type of altered boot.
Well, we got a cowboy and an outlaw in there. I guess that makes sense. Hammer gets in there and nails Bad News by mistake. And Bad News shoves his partner, and there's a situation with the heel team here. Bad News decides to take off, leaving his team behind. He gets counted out. What do you think of that?
They're really kind of pitching Bad News to be this ultimate loner guy. So from that standpoint, I'm okay with it.
I think it's good for the character, for sure.
Yeah, I don't necessarily need to see him get pinned to get eliminated. And I think that part of the worry, probably for me at least, if I was saying, hey, we should do this for Bad News' elimination, would be that the fan base would then view Bad News as a good guy. He just walked out on all the bad guys, right? That's usually how a heel turn would work, is that a heel turns on a heel, that makes you a face.
Typically.
And here he turned on three other heels, and nothing. So, yeah, I was fine with it. Didn't bother me.
So after he walks out on the team, we got the couple of guys from the Old West going at it. And I got a not-so-fun fact here. So Sam Houston, he was sentenced to 10 years in jail in 2005 for repeated DUIs.
Yeah.
Said to have had an average of 2 a year for the previous decade.
Jesus Christ.
Runs pretty hard in families, I guess. He's Jake the Snake's brother. Anyways, the Warrior, he's just jonesing to get in there, man. Shaking the ropes, pacing back and forth. Really hogging the spotlight. Houston takes a power slam from Ronnie, and he's out of there.
Houston gets the power slam. He's gone, and he never stood a chance in this match.
No, I don't got a favorite Sam Houston moment.
Neither do I.
So the Warrior gets in there, and then he and the Blazer do a kind of like an assist where Warrior throws Blazer from the top onto the Outlaw.
Yeah.
Only gets a 2. Probably should have been a 3. So Honky goes in there. He takes a monkey flip. He gets out of there, taking in Greg the Hammer. He ends up doing a leapfrog thing with the Blazer, headbutting him right in the package. In a botch.
Yeah, that was fantastic. As I didn't make many notes, well, really for this entire event, if I'm being honest. But him getting nutted on the frog was fucking beautiful, man.
That legitimately took him out of action for a couple of months. He goes to the top and gets knocked off, then Hammer slaps on the figure four and he's gone. Outlaw gets in there with the Beefer, gives him kitchen sink and a headbutt. And I noticed that Honky has Wild Thing on his ass.
I think it'd be funnier if he put it on his crank.
Usually is.
Yeah, you're right. It is kind of funnier when you put stuff on your crank rather than your ass. Interesting.
Great teamwork by Honky's team in this one. So he goes up to the top, though, in an ill-advised move. Maybe the first time I've seen the Honky Tonk climb to the top rope. And he misses. And then Brutus lands his best move, that atomic drop. Slaps on the sleeper, which gets broken up. And he and Honky battle to the floor. And the ref counts both of them out. And we got the Warrior against Ronnie Bass and Greg Valentine.
So this is going to be more Warrior complaining by me. So buckle up. Motherfucker keeps repeatedly kicking out. At or before a 1 count.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Fuck you, man. At or before a 1 count, you're going to repeat it? One time, right? Sure. Right, one time. But you don't do that shit over and over and over again.
He ain't selling shit.
He doesn't sell anything. It's fucking aggravating. And when you do get something up on him, then he just starts shaking. Warrior. I brought you on play from my spaceship. Here I am, the Warrior. Body slam. Oh, you're going to pin me? I'm going to pick it out before 1. This fucking guy.
Didn't care for it, huh?
Well, how do you ever believe that anybody is going to defeat him. How? If he doesn't sell a fucking thing.
That's a good point.
It's just, it's irritating to me as a wrestling fan. And I like to think I have some knowledge of, I mean, I'm involved in professional wrestling. When he, if all he does is kick out before one or at one, there's no believability ever, ever that anybody's going to be on top of, in one of his matches. It sucks.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's take the time machine I had a couple of years. So we covered Macho Man, Randy Savage in our last special episode. He nailed 5 or 6 big elbows. Which, yeah. To your point,
right?
You know, it's ridiculous. But the prior month, he got clobbered with the scepter and lost the title to Slaughter. Was that his first loss?
I don't know. I can't believe that it is. Might have been.
Because he has the IC title here.
Right.
Actually, no, Rude pinned him.
Yes.
At the SummerSlam, yeah, with the classic.
Rude pinned him, yep.
Brain assist, but yeah, I know what you mean, man. He's just all about himself.
Fucking aggravating.
But yeah, he ends up finishing off these guys with the double axe handle.
Yeah, and he pins not the legal man.
Right.
And then after that, I guess, you know, they're forced to believe that whoever's left is the legal man, and it's off the ropes running double axe handle. He pins the wrong fucking guy. And he does the same move and I guess pins the wrong guy twice. As far as I'm concerned, he didn't win this fucking match.
Well, he gets his hand raised and the music plays and he runs out of there. He runs out of there without the belt.
He's probably late for the spaceship.
Oh, right. Right.
Well,
this is the shortest match by far of the four tonight. So we're one match in. What do you think so far?
So far, not impressed. Did you want me to be impressed?
Well, there wasn't too much to be impressed about with that last one.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a blue blazer, liked him. Like Greg the Hammer, he's in pretty good shape here. But, yeah, it's just kind of a vehicle to get the Warrior over, basically.
Yeah.
A double axe might be worst finisher of the year.
He never had a good finish.
At least body slamming a guy and... You know, jumping on him, that's a little more high impact than a double axe, I would think.
It's a combo, at least. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Right. Next up, we got the 10 on 10.
Now, here's...
five team on five team Survivor Series match.
Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to talk about every fucking elimination. I don't want to talk about this fucking 48-minute... pile of steam, right? It's tough, man. It's a tough match to watch. It is far too long. There are far too many people. I mean, we can discuss those eliminations, but the ins and the outs of the entire match, man, we'll be here for about the next 7 hours.
Oh, we gotta cover it, man.
I know what we got. I know we're gonna talk about it. I just don't want to talk about it forever.
So the tag team division here is pretty outstanding. We got the Powers of Pain, the Rockers, Bulldogs, and the Heart Foundation, along with the Young Stallions. Taking on Demolition, the Brainbusters, the Bolsheviks, the Rougeos, and the Conquistadors. So Fuji leads the heels out there. Quite an eclectic bunch from all over the world. I mean, we got Mexico, Russia, French Canada, parts unknown.
French Canada.
And the USA.
Yeah.
Real diverse team.
That is a diverse team. I'll give you that.
So Jesse Guerrilla talking about the Rougeos' plans to move to Beverly Hills. And this is the first taste we're getting of the Rockers and the Brainbusters, who just came over from the Jim Crockett. We've got 20 wrestlers here, and we got 4 managers on the heel side. Pretty full house.
Yeah, there's way too many people, man. They're standing around the ring. There's not a spot for anybody to run the ropes. They have to move for the guys to run the ropes. It's a fucking mess. And then the fucking Powers of Pain team does a damn circle jerk before the match begins. That's always fun, right? You get together with a bunch of other guys and all jerk off in a circle. And one thing that I did like, the Rougeos, man, they are fantastic teammates.
Love the Rougeaus.
They're fucking amazing, man. I think I missed. My team of the year should have been the Rougeaus because they impress me every time I see them.
Well, don't give up on your pick just yet, man. We're getting a taste of the Twin Towers later.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, Rougeaus, they're mixing up with the Bulldogs. They've had that nasty feud backstage as well as in the ring. Jock had knocked out some of the Dynamite's teeth, and this is actually the last we're going to see the British Bulldogs. Davey Boyle will come back as a singles guy in like a couple, 2-3 years, something like that. Yeah. I mean, Jesse, he talks about, you know, the age-old rivalry between France and England. You know, it's a little history lesson there. And I got to say, you know, the Rougeaus are, I said this last time, the Rougeaus are a much more likable team than the Bulldogs.
Yeah. They're a much more likable team than, like, every other team in this match.
The one thing about this match, though, there are so many tags.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating here. There's probably over 100 tags in this match.
Yeah.
It's done to an absurd level. I was starting to think it was done for, like, almost, like, comedy purposes. Like, okay. An inside bit.
Right.
Let's see how many fucking tags we can make.
I wonder if that's a Guinness World Record. I mean, if Guinness tracks these type of things.
I've never seen more tags.
It's a good point. Yeah, I probably haven't either.
Typically, you get, you know, two guys in there. They'll mix it up for, you know, 10, 20 seconds, and then, you know, tags will be made. Which, that's cool. It's fast-paced action. The problem is this match is almost an hour long. Do you think having so many guys around the ring would make it a less enjoyable experience live?
Yes. Yes, that is actually one of the things I wrote down. Again, I didn't take a lot of notes in this match. I had a really tough time. It's not an easy watch. But I was thinking, if I'm there live, and no matter where I'm sitting, all I see is the asses of other wrestlers and not the action inside of the ring, I'm probably pretty upset. Because you can't see a ton of action from hard cam. And you can't see a ton of action from the cam outside of the ring. Like, it is not an easy match to watch.
Well, I won't break down everything that happens here, but our guys, the Rougeaus, they're eliminated first. There's rumor that, you know, that was so they could get out of the building.
Yeah, Brett, small packages. I think it was Raymond.
Raymond Rougeau.
Raymond Rougeau. After that, I'm gonna kick over to my notes here because what I wrote down is Marty is great. He works well with the conch. He works well with the Nico, or not the Nico. Yeah, the Nikolai. You call him Nico, right?
I'm sure his friends call him Nico.
Yeah, I'm sure his buddies do call him Nico, which is kind of makes him that much cooler, right? Nico's a pretty cool name.
I was actually impressed with Nico here.
I kind of was too.
Devastating, yeah, backbreakers. Yeah, you see a lot of those combo in unison moves with HBK and Jannetty, but
yeah, the Rockers were right. The Rockers were smoking ass. I think Marty ends up pinning Boris. Which is cool with me. Like, I'm okay, but like he looked great in this match. I was very happy to see him.
Tully Blanchard, he's fun to watch. He was a highlight of this thing as well.
Tully got in the ring like without getting tagged. I don't know if you noticed that at all. Like the Conquistador just rolled out of the ring and Tully just got in. You can't do that.
Well, he wanted to get him some of the Hitman, and that seems like a hell of a match. Hitman Tully.
Yeah, if you could have got them both in their prime, probably would have been a hell of a match.
So, Conquistadors, I got a fun fact for you here. I mean, they're Uno and Dos, right? And I'm not sure which one it is, but one of them is Jose Estrada Sr.
Oh, that is fun.
Father of one of your Boricuas.
Yeah, that ain't bad. I like that. Keep those fun facts coming if they have to deal with the Boricuas.
I'll see what I can do, man.
I appreciate it.
The Powers of Pain and Demolition, they're the team captains here. And they keep, you know, getting in there, mixing it up. A couple of, they're similar kinds of teams, I guess.
Yeah.
They both got the makeup going.
Yeah, they really got their paint.
And actually did a little bit of a deep dive. This is kind of a fun fact. I mean, if you want me to keep them coming, I'll...
Does it have to do with the Boricuas?
It has to do with the Powers of Pain.
Okay. You go ahead. I'll see. We'll see.
Okay, so They were asked if they took their inspiration from Kias for the face paint, and they actually, they said they took their inspiration from the Batman comics.
So the Powers of Pain were asked if they took their inspiration from Kias, and right. they said they took their inspiration from the Batman. And nobody asked the Demolition?
I mean, the Demolition is clearly in line with Kias.
Yeah, Demolition is definitely Kias. I wonder what, who knows? It doesn't matter.
They could have combined those two teams, man. Just the face painted like, bunch.
Like a foursome. Right.
Yeah, fearsome foursome.
The powers of Demolition.
That'd be hard to stop. Hell of a faction.
Yeah.
Tully, he gets caught with one of those sickening clotheslines from the Dynamite. Like I said, this is the last we're going to see him. Every move he does looks like it hurts. Either him or the other guy or both.
Hopefully just him. Pretty sure he's an asshole.
Yeah, that's what the word is. So we're like 25 minutes into this thing, and there were still 14 guys out there.
Sucks. It's too long.
Very slow going.
You know what's funny is that you can have a match with two guys run an hour, and it'd be entertaining and intriguing and captivating. You have a match with 20 guys, run 40, I think it's like 45, 46 minutes, and it's not. Why is that?
That's a good question. Because my next note, I'm going to ask you something here.
Okay, I'm going to answer you.
Which might provide a little light on the question, because they start using rest holds at this time.
Yeah.
And my first reaction is like, come on, right? But they're trying to mix it up and add some variety in there. And I know you like a good rest hold, but
yeah,
like I said, when I'm 25, 30 minutes into this thing and there's still 14 guys out there,
yeah,
don't really want to see a headlock. But yeah, you would think that this would be a cream dream here with, you know, 20 guys.
Yeah, and I think if I were there live, I'd probably just be cheering eliminations, regardless of who it was.
I mean, so far it seems like Tully's taking more of a beating than anybody else. He's in there with the Hitman. They're mixed up for a little while. Hitman hits a German suplex and essentially pins himself because Tully manages to get a shoulder up. Okay. That was pretty cool. That was kind of the only real creative, one of only a couple creative sorts of eliminations in this one.
The next thing that got to me was, because they ends up being a double elimination for the Busters and the Rockers.
Yeah, the melee breaks out after that.
But I like the catch. They go for the suplex on Marty and Sean catches him, rolls through, double super kick. Like, that looked good. It was nice. It was smooth. They took their time. Everything looked good. Mm-hmm. The double DQ is fine. Like, I think Brainbuster's Rockers feud works. Like, that was nice. Like, that made perfect sense to me, that whole situation. The double DQ, I completely understand, but I don't know. I was kind of happy with what I saw with that. There was like fleeting moments watching this match where I was a little bit captivated. Few and far between.
And that thinned the herd, which it needed to do.
Yes.
And Jesse and Gorilla start talking about the odds of the Conquistadors winning this thing. Gorilla says maybe 100-1. And I'm starting to think that maybe the damn Conquistadors are going into business for themselves. It's like one of these teams, you know, I think pretty sure this is their only pay-per-view appearance, and they won't stay down.
Man, those Conks really got it going on, huh?
I like seeing them, though.
Yeah.
You think Goldust might have been inspired by the Conks here?
No, I don't think so. Maybe just like a little bit. Not a total inspirado.
We get Powers of Pain and Demolition mixes it up again. Fuji gets on the apron with his cane, making a distraction of some sort. And we got some controversy here, man, because Smash goes against the ropes and Fuji leans down on the rope, letting his guy fall to the outside. We're doing a turn here. So obviously, you know, Demolition's like, what the hell's going on here? And I think they end up laying out Demolition out there. Then damn Powers of Pain come out to pick them up. And I don't know how I feel about this double turn, really. what's your take on this?
So it takes a real son of a bitch manager to be able to be attacked by the guys he's managing, make them faces, but also have faces console the son of a bitch to make faces heels. Like that, at first I was a little bit, how do I put it? I wasn't sold out. Or, I mean, you know, I wasn't sold on the whole turn. But the more I think of it, more than anything, what it does is solidifies Fuji as an over-the-top heel manager.
A real bastard.
A real bastard. Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that happened I think it was just directly before this, and I want to mention it because it struck me off guard. Warlord, he's in a rest hold and his head is sideways and his paint is peeling off. And I had to do a double take because he's got this red paint and it looks like his fucking eyeball fell out. Like, would you just wipe it off? Like, if it's going to hang like that, just give it a quick wipe off. Just give it a quick one. It looked fucking look weird, man. Anyways, the whole sequence of the double turn, completely fine with. It was weird. You don't see turns done that way very often at all. And I think it worked in this situation. I think it worked.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how the, you know, because we got Jesse and Gorilla helping us along, painting, you know, Fuji as this bastard that he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're in the crowd, are you cheering? You came in cheering the Powers of Pain, right? And then they, like you said, Fuji's got to be a real bastard, you know, for them to do a good deed as faces.
Right.
And then that turns them into bad guys. It's kind of strange, but... Also, did you notice that the Powers of Pain have been walking around with face paint real similar to Fuji?
Yeah, that I did pick up on. It wasn't, if you're not like keen to it, you don't pick up on it. But yeah, I did notice that. Would I be cheering for the Powers of Pain? I'm not, you know, I'm not sure. Part of me thinks that a concern in that moment would be if we're going to have Demolition turn on Fuji. And then have the Powers of Pain console Fuji. I would worry about Fuji becoming more likable. And that didn't happen.
Right, right. Yeah, it was pretty well done, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because Demolition, they're the tag champions. They've been getting over anyways. They got the whole package with the theme song and whatnot. Don't really need a manager.
No.
And it's pretty funny, actually, when Smash goes tumbling to the outside. Axe tries to call a timeout to get the ref to stop the count out, but he doesn't give it to him.
Yeah, give him the timeout.
So it started with 20 guys. We're at the home stretch here. We're down to the Conquistadors, the Powers of Pain.
Were you cheering on the Conquistadors at this point?
I was.
Me too.
I remembered that they had made it pretty far from, you know, because I watched this a whole bunch as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if they got the win or not. But, you know, sure enough, Powers of Pain, they get the win over Uno and Dos, finish it off with a headbutt, and they put Fuji on their shoulders. And then Demolition comes back out to go to town on their rivals. And we get some boos, you know. Like I said, there's probably a little bit of confusion in the audience, but Jesse says that he's mystified. But it was a cool, creative spot here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you think you think they could have done without the first 35 minutes, maybe?
Yeah, I really do. I think they could have had this match be, you know, maybe not, you know, 20 guys. You could have maybe just had like, you know, 6-on-6. Thin it out a little bit. I mean, the Conquistadors were there to take that final pin. Like, you understand that. By the end of it, during it, you probably don't. But by the end, you kind of understand. They're just there to take the final pin. Too long. Not super fun. Spots here and there. Rougeos are great. Brett was great. Marty was fantastic. Tully did good work. Like, there was some good spots in it, but the unfortunate thing about even like all those spots is that it was just the massive amount of men around the ring where you couldn't see what was going on took away from anything quality of the match itself. So they've never done this again. It's probably wise of them.
They did this on the first one, and it's been a long time since I saw the first one, but I imagine it's probably a lot of the same. They actually had a 5-on-5 ladies at the first one as well.
Yeah, Jumpin' Bomb Angels were in that.
Hell yeah. I think they took Hell on yeah. the Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls?
Isn't that what they were?
No, man. Now I can't remember.
Judy Martin and
Leilani Kai.
I think they were the Golden Girls, man.
They weren't the Golden Girls, man. The Golden Girls, that was the show with B. Arthur and that one broad that wanted to plow everybody.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Betty White, would you?
Betty White, I would not. Well, I mean, maybe. I don't know. She seems so daring and wholesome, you know? Who doesn't want to fuck somebody like that?
We're two matches into this thing, man. And that was when we talked leading up to this episode. That last one was the one you were most critical of. So, I mean, you got any closing thoughts before we keep?
I'm just happy it's over. Yeah. Just happy it's over.
It was a chore.
It was, man. And this is so again, I watched it in parts. I watched it match by match. And this was a match that even knowing like going in, I was sitting down just to watch this match. And by the time it was done, I was fucking tired. I wanted to nap. It was not easy.
And once again, this probably holds the record for the most tags in a match. So, I mean, that's your thing. Go watch it. We get sent to the back with Sean Mooney. Bad News Brown. He looks pissed.
He's pissed.
So this was a good touch, right? Because this confirms that Bad News is still, in fact, a Bad News son of a gun.
Yep.
Calls us all beer belly sharecroppers. It sounds like he has an undefeated streak going.
Yeah.
I like that. I like Bad News. Good heel. He would be a tough, he's a real tough guy to, could you ever see him turn and face?
No. No, I don't think, I mean, I mean, anybody can become a face. Anybody can become a heel. Some guys are a little bit harder to envision or figure out how you would turn them face or heel. He's one guy that's probably tougher to figure out how to be a face, but you can get him there. Best part of this was when Bad News asked him if Mooney's been on Mars. Kind of a question. What do you say? I think Mooney asked him why he thinks he should be the number one contender or something like that for the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And Bad News just turns around, why? You've been on Mars? It's like, yeah, yeah. All of a sudden, Sean Mooney's a fucking astronaut.
I noticed the Bad News pointing to the wrong camera throughout this thing, which is kind of funny.
I think it's better. It just shows like Bad News doesn't give a shit.
He really doesn't, man. He is Bad News, and he wants him some of that Macho Man. I think we're going to see him getting a title shot in one of our upcoming shows. Now we're sent back to Fuji. The Powers of Pain with Mean Gene. So like I mentioned, that face paint. I think they use the same face paint. It's like the same colors and everything.
Yeah.
So they could have probably seen this coming.
Probably. And I don't even know what he said because I think I was kind of shocked. Barbarian started talking, and he sounds of Asian descent. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, that's the first time I've seen him talk.
And he sounds Asian. It's very strange.
Sounds, yeah, he's got kind of a dialect similar to Fuji-san here.
Right. And he should not have dialects similar to Fuji-san. I'm glad that Warlord didn't start doing it. That would have been something else.
Man, Fuji's got a good line here. It is a little puzzling to leave the champions. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But he says he did everything for Demolition, like making him exercise. That was a good take. And Warlord says they'll listen to Master Fuji. So yeah, Warlord's another one of these guys like Barb and Ming. They don't ever need to say anything.
No. You know,
that's why we got guys like Bobby the Brain and Master Fuji.
Yep.
But we are kind of in the era where they give everybody, like, everybody's got to say a little something. Unless you're Jimmy Powers. You get nothing.
Then you don't get to say shit if you're Jimmy Powers.
You think I could have the mic or shut up, Jimmy Powers?
So we're in the back now with Gene and the Heenan family team. This is all right, but before we get into it, this is a moment of silence for everybody in this segment.
Whoa. What?
Me and Gene and the managers and everybody on in the Heenan family is no longer with us.
Get the fuck out of town.
Kurt, Ravishing Rick, Dino Bravo, Andre. Even Frenchie Martin, he's gone.
Well, yeah. Jeez. Way to fucking bring me down, Bruce. Wow.
I mean, moment of silence for all these guys. Mean Gene, Bobby the Brain, Frenchie Martin, Andre the Giant, Ravishing Rick, Kurt Hennig, Dino Bravo, and Harley Race.
Yeah, moment of silence.
So this is another example of everybody getting their little something in here.
Oh, yeah.
After Dino says he's coming right after Hacksaw because he hates America.
Oh, yeah.
Ravishing Rick calls Gene a rivet head and says they're going to show the world how to do Turkey Day the ravishing way. And, of course, your man. What do you think of Andre's performance here, wrapping up the bit for his team?
I couldn't really understand what he said.
I think he got the message, though, that he's...
You got the message,
he's coming to get him.
That's that much more terrifying, right? You can't even understand what he's saying, and you're scared. God, Andre's just... You know, people should pray to Andre. If we were in biblical times, I think people would pray to Andre.
He is a quite the figure, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So back when we did our list of top five favorite Survivor Series teams, I think this team was either one or two, the Cena family team, just stacked.
Absolutely stacked.
So they're going to be taking on the Jake the Snake and Duggan team, but first, they're going to the back with the Mega Powers. Macho Man Randy Savage starts it off, talks about being bonded together. Ooh, yeah! Hillbilly talks about feeling the heat from the kitchen. Meanwhile, Herc don't have to stand alone anymore and says you can't always get what you want. So Hercules recently actually, fun fact, Bobby the Brain Heenan sold him into slavery to the Million Dollar Man.
Jesus.
So that's what we got going here. Hulkster's got the chain around his neck and says that they have no weak links. And then Hulkster kind of goes, takes a twist here, says they went to a seance last night where they got bonded together as one as they were standing in the ocean. I didn't quite follow this promo.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we got Liz in there. I actually didn't even notice Liz until.
What a fucking shot. Whoa, wait.
You didn't notice Liz was there. Look at me. This is my big surprised face.
You think maybe she was inside the Macho Man's robe? Oh, yeah.
No, No, I don't think she was. I think she was hiding because she's uncomfortable because she doesn't want to be there.
First Lady of Wrestling, man.
Give a fuck. I don't care, all right? I'm tired of this shit. I'm tired of it. Every fucking time we watch this shit, we got to talk about how much Liz sucks. And you sit there and defend her. I get fucking text message. I was on the phone with Tropic Al before we started this bullshit. And he's telling me about how great Liz was. Guess what? You're wrong. You're wrong. It's okay that you like her. It's okay that you like her. But she is not a good fucking manager.
Well, we'll see her in action later on, man.
I fucking highly doubt it. You say in action. You say in action. What is she going to do? Walk?
We'll see, man.
Yeah.
But first, we got that Heenan family team taking on the team of Hacksaw Doug and Jake the Snake, Kenny Patera, Tito Santana, and Scott Casey. I think this is my first and only taste of Scott Casey.
Why are you tasting guys again so often?
I don't know, man.
I don't know either.
I guess Scotty replaced JYD on the team.
Okay.
And Jess says he don't have a snake phobia, just check out his boots. Snake and Duggan's team are out there first. Have quite a few foam two-by-fours in the crowd.
It's a good market.
People love Duggan.
Yeah. He should be in the main event.
He gets the crowd up with a big hoe, and we're on our way. So Ravishing Rick, he's got some of them yellow tights with some ladies' hands grabbing at his stuff.
This confused me. And I don't know if the coloring was off of my TV or what was going on. It looked like somebody smeared shit on his tights. He's got the yellow tights, and I think it was red, right? But when you combine red and yellow, it kind of looks like a brownish hue. So it looks like hands covered in shit just went down his pants. I didn't like it, man.
They're going after his unit, man.
Yeah, but why are they dipped in shit?
I guess I didn't make a note of that.
You didn't recognize that?
No, I thought he was looking striking, man, with the pink and the yellow. That is a tough, you know, color combo to pull off. I'll give you that.
Yeah, no, to me it looked brown, man. It looked brown. So he had fucking, gross. And then I could think of it was like Jake's fucking, not Jake, Rick's tights fucking covered in shit. I didn't like that thought in my head.
I could see how that would put you in a bummer here.
It sours you, yeah. Well, shit always sours you. When it's in places it doesn't belong. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
So Ravishing starts it off with Kenny Patera. Jess reminds us he was the first guy to ever deadlift 500 pounds. And Gorilla says something about Patera making him want to get out of the ring. And I didn't quite follow.
Yeah.
Kenny Patera put Gorilla Monsoon out of action?
Monsoon that Kenny Patera convinced him to retire. He said all these young guys are going to kick your face in or something like that. I mean, I'm paraphrasing like really loosely there, but something along those lines.
We get a lot of good matchups in this one. Mr. Perfect making his pay-per-view debut, and he's just got the jobber trunks on. Doesn't have that signature Mr. Perfect tights yet.
But his boots still said Mr. P, didn't they?
I believe so.
Yeah, so that works.
It's kind of funny. Santana gets in there, and Ventura immediately calls him Chico.
And fucking Gorilla says Tito, and as soon as...
Chico.
It's so good. It's like he's correcting him, but like he gets more angry as it goes on. Tito, Chico.
Man, hell of an arm drag on Chico.
Tito. Yeah, no, he's not a bad performer at all. He's still got the fucking sombrero on his pants or his trunks. I don't like that.
Well, they mix it up for a little bit in there, and then we get Harley Race and Scott Casey. And a belly to belly by Harley Race, which Gorilla calls a gut wrench. I think he missed there. Ravishing Rick's in there. I mean, the Heenan family's firing on all cylinders. Clearly the better team.
Yeah.
They don't got Hacksaw Duggan, man. All right, compare and contrast here. What Duggan's doing on the apron versus the Warrior.
Hmm.
because Duggan's cheering his team on. He throws the thumbs up. Everybody's up, right?
Right.
Warrior, yeah. He's pacing back and forth, you know, reaching up to the gods.
Right.
You know, and people are up for that as well.
Well, I think Hack is more endearing.
That's for sure.
He clearly gets better. I mean, right now, at least, he's definitely getting better reactions from the crowd. Like, Warrior doesn't have a ho or a USA or a thumbs up or a tough guy.
He never really had anything in the as far as catchphrases or any of that shit.
Nah, man, because everything that he said, you couldn't understand. He never tied anything together. It didn't work. But with Hack, like, he's not bothering me. Like, he is walking around probably a little bit too much, but he's not bothering me nearly as much as Warrior did.
He gets the USA chance going, gets the hose going, he gets the hot tag, and manhandles Mr. Perfect. Takes a nice bump over the top. And then Ravishing Rick. I mean, this is another one where guys are just in and out. And I like Ravishing Rick here. He gives it to Scott Casey, and then we see some of them hip gyrations.
So that's an ultimate power play, right? You put your opponent down, you stand over him, and you fucking gyrate over him.
Oh, that's great.
It's fantastic.
All right, let me ask you this. So, well, Chico gets the tag, nails a flying forearm, doesn't put away Ricky Rude. Finishers not finishing guys isn't exactly a new thing.
Right.
But here's the question.
Nobody's
breaking up. Nobody's breaking anything up.
Yeah, that is strange.
Is that, how do you feel about that? Because they're abide by the rules, but.
I do like the rules. Yeah, no, I'd rather they didn't, I guess. It does come across as a little strange, but yeah, I like that. I like that they didn't. The thing that. What did you just say?
Chico hitting a flying forearm and not getting the win.
Was he onto the flying forearm as his finish at this point?
I got to believe. I don't know what else he had used.
Figure four.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew Chico was a figure four man.
Yeah, he's a figure foreman. So, I don't know. That's the first thought that came to my mind. Yeah.
Well, the team co-captain Jim Duggan gets in there and lands a big swinging slam, and he and Rude collide with one of them double noggin knockers. We see Duggan make a diving tag to Patera, and the crowd goes silent.
Nobody likes Kenny P, man.
But then Duggan throws the thumb up on the apron, and the crowd's back up. It's
right.
This guy is just
so good.
Holds the crowd in the palm of his hands.
Yeah.
So Kenny P takes Rude Awakening. He's the first guy out. And Casey gets in there. Takes a side suplex from Dino Bravo. He's out.
Talk about a guy that never stood a chance.
No. And Duggan gets in there, takes the punishment, but marches around the ring, lands a blow before being laid to waste by a headbutt from the Giant. Chico gets back in there. Dino lands a couple of nice. No, he lands a couple of nice pin combos for close twos. Jess reminds us that being close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Is that still a saying that people use frequently?
I've heard it.
I've heard it too. It's always like a, like an older guy saying, right?
Right.
Yeah, maybe, I think you got to be like 45 plus.
Maybe it was fresh back then.
Yeah, it could have been.
So Chico lands the flying forearm and pins Harley Race, though.
That's a fair point, yeah.
But Chico's in trouble. He gets pinned in the Heenan family's corner. Andre gets in there, chokes the life out of him. Pretty dominating performance by Andre in this one.
Yeah, he finishes Tito with the sit.
What do you think about Chico going for the sunset flip on the Giant?
Not wise, right? Not wise.
No.
But yeah. I do... The sit to finish, that kind of works for me.
You're not getting up from the sit. And then Andre, he gets stuck in the in his classic rope spot.
This This agitated me to no end. He's in the ropes. Why isn't the official helping him out of the ropes? Why are they being allowed to beat the fuck out of him? He's in the ropes.
That's fair.
Yeah.
He manages to make a tag to Ravishing Rick. He's in there, mixes it up with Jake the Snake. Jess wonders who Cheryl Roberts is cheering for. So he and family's up 4-2 here. It's not looking good. Jake's taking a beating. Mr. Perfect gets in there. Hits a slingshot with Jake's neck under the bottom rope. And then Andre jumps on the rope, providing some more punishment. I like that spot. I'm surprised the rope didn't give way.
Yeah.
I mean, Andre the Giant's just bouncing on that thing like a trampoline.
Could you imagine Andre actually on a trampoline?
That'd be a very well-built trampoline. I think so.
Do you mind if I get on a trampoline? I'm having so much fun. I'm going to jump again. Wee. Do you want to play crack the egg?
Oh, Andre the Giant on a trampoline is fucking priceless.
Well, Jake, he's in a bad way. So he's getting the business from Ravishing Rick, getting the business from Dino. Dino lands a nice pile driver. Jake gets his foot on the rope. Finally makes the hot tag to Hack. It's another huge pop. Hack gets Dino in the corner, looks to be going for the 10 count, but stops at 5. You think he's being mindful?
So, in my mind, if anybody does have, a respect for the rules, I want to say it's Hack, but I know that it's not. So when you say, like, yeah, maybe he's being mindful of the rules, no, I don't think so. Like, 5 was enough in this situation.
I got to say you're right, because immediately after that, after Frenchie Martin gets involved, he goes to the outside and grabs his 2x4.
Right.
And then comes in and just clobbers Dino Bravo, gets DQ'd.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of screwing Jake the Snake, but got a big pop out of it. Jake the Snake's left to fend for himself against the Heenan family. So far, I like this one the best out of the three.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an easy call.
So Jake keeps engaging in these tests of strength with the Heenan family. And he always tries to grab the rope in his corner so they don't drag him into the corner, which is, that's a smart move.
It's smart, yeah.
We get one of the highlights here is really when, you know, Jake does the same spot he did to Scott Casey, like, you know, gives Jake the business and then stands, you know, on top of him, shaking his junk right in his face.
Yeah. Love that. Always love that.
So he goes to make the tag, and he gets his pants pulled down.
And he gets hit with the ass-out DDT. Fucking the ass-out DDT. I don't know, man. Like, the ass spot is always fun. Like, we both get a kick out of the ass. A good ass spot will make us laugh for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But the ass-out DDT, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sold on it yet.
Man, you got Andre waste no time here.
This is the best part of the match.
He gets in there, just gives it to Jake. Bites him, chokes him.
He's killing him.
Yeah, he keeps breaking at the 5.
Right. And he'll, like, let go for a second, and then fucking pow! Choke him again! Kill Jake Roberts! Save the Federation some rehab bills.
So he just chokes the life out of him until he just can't contain himself, and he holds on to the choke, gets DQ'd. But the damage is done. Mr. Perfect gets in there, gets the pin.
Hell of a spot there for Mr. P, too, to win that match with all those guys in it and him being a new guy. Hell of a spot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So at the end of this match, I don't know if their timing was off or this is the way it was supposed to be. But Jay goes for the snake and throws it into the ring after the heels have already left the ring.
Right.
So
yeah, there's a miss.
Jake gets the stand.
Maybe he was playing 22.
So Jake gets a standing ovation, and then Jess gives gorilla shit for cheering a loser. Man, this was like next level Andre aggression here.
It was great. Made me happy.
I believe that he could have ripped Jake's head off if he wanted to.
I believe you're right.
Yeah. So we're sent back to Gene, Twin Towers team. Main event time, man.
And they send us back to, and then fucking, can the rooster talk? No. No, somebody should have stopped that from happening.
Yeah, he says he's not going to let Bobby down. We get Ted saying that the only thing he's thankful for is his money in his bank account, and tells Hercules to realize his position in life as a slave. So there's that. Akeem, I didn't catch what he was just chucking and jiving and saying something about surviving.
Right.
That actually rhymes.
Yeah. Look at you.
So yeah, the rooster. I mean, Terry Taylor, man.
Yeah. I thought about this though.
One of these guys don't belong.
Yeah, clearly he doesn't belong. The majority of places he goes. But do you think that, because I think it was WCW, he was the tailor-made man. Do you think the tailor-made man would have worked in this era? Like if he wasn't the red damn rooster, if he came in as the tailor-made man, I think he probably fits right in with the Heenan family.
Right. And Million Dollar Man, right?
Right. So it doesn't make, like, I don't know, maybe it's just, obviously, hindsight's always going to be better, but in the moment, like,
rooster.
Right. If he's going to be a rooster, I mean, he's got to be a face, right? Roosters are, I guess, faces, right? Everybody loves cock. So on the flip side of that, if he's going to be a bad guy, just get him to just be the tailor-made man. It's a much better gimmick. Especially for Terry Taylor.
So Haku speaks here too.
Yeah.
Says everyone's going to bow. Boss Man's all jacked up. Says he's going to hurt the Hulkster, like hurt him bad like the dog he is. Do you think the Boss Man beats his animals?
Golly, I hope not.
What a fucking heel.
I fucking love animals. I fucking love the Boss Man. That would put me in a real pinch.
All right, we're here, man. The main event. So, three matches in. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling like I don't want to watch this one again.
I might blame it on WrestleMania fatigue. We watched this the same week. WWF was on every night.
Okay.
I actually watched it a second time, and it was more enjoyable. But so you pointed out that it's more enjoyable when you don't really have to pay attention, take notes.
Right. And I think that you could say, like, oh, I'm going to blame it on WrestleMania fatigue. Not for me, man. Not for me. I watch at least an hour, minimum an hour of wrestling every day. Most days it's more. So, no, it's not WrestleMania fatigue for me.
It's something else, huh?
Just hasn't been a very enjoyable event.
All right, well, we'll check back at the end here. For this one, we got the Mega Powers. We got Hercules, Coco Beware, and Hillbilly Jim taking on the Twin Towers. Ted DiBiase, King Haku, and the Red Rooster.
So, with Hillbilly Jim in there, right? And the Red Rooster in there. Boy, did I ever think, like, they should get, like, a farm animal faction going for Hillbilly Jim.
It fits.
Right. Yeah. Like, Hillbilly Jim is lovable a guy. It's like him and Hacksaw, right? Super lovable people.
Oh, yeah.
Love Hillbilly. Love Hack, right? but he's in there with the Rooster. I was like, these guys should not be at ends. They should be companions.
Right.
I mean, maybe
a few more animals.
Well, yeah, maybe Akeem could be reborn again. He'd come back as a bull.
El Torito, throw him in there.
He's not around yet, but you get like Sam Houston. He could be like the horse. Sam the horse Houston. The young stallions, they're already horses. Right, they could go in there, right?
They're in the barn. Yeah, they call the stable the barn, right?
Right. Yeah, the stable's the barn. You're a genius, man. You know, you're smarter than you lead on sometimes.
Oh, man, the barn. Missed opportunity.
The barn fucking wails.
All right, we got Akeem here making his pay-per-view debut. Coming out to the old
Jaff Soul Bro.
Just jiving up a storm in his blue and yellow gear. Haku walks out there with the robe and the crown.
Wait. Africa, right? They don't have like one flag, right? Because it's a continent.
Right, he's got the continent on his shirt.
He's got the continent on his shirt. But do you think that, like, why yellow and blue? Is there a tie of yellow and blue to Africa that I'm unaware of?
It must be like the continent colors.
Do continents have colors?
Shouldn't they?
I mean, I don't know. There's not a North American flag, right?
I suppose not.
Right.
Hmm.
No, just a thought, man.
Would you have chose a different color scheme for an African guy?
Well, a lot of people are using yellow, so I think I probably would have stayed away from yellow.
So we had last season. We had Mr. Serengeti. He was a red and black guy, I think.
Right. But is red and black too close to the gang? Like, if they're trying to separate themselves from the gang. Yeah, I was just thinking, man.
We're going to see a lot more of these guys throughout the rest of the season here, so I'm sure we'll have more of a deep dive. More fun facts about Akeem to come, I'm sure.
What's up, bro?
Man, Ted's looking good out there. I got that fig dressed in the green.
Yeah.
And we're popping circumstance, and here comes the world champion, led out there by the lovely Elizabeth. He has Mega Powers cape on with lightning bolts and the stars. We get Hillbilly Herc and Coco. And we hear Real American over the speakers. And here comes the Hulkster. What do you think of that? Is that just creating a little division there for something to come?
Yeah, I mean, they all should have came down together to Real American.
I think he's the only guy who gets his own music here.
Yeah.
Man. Him and the Warrior were made for each other, weren't they?
You said that in my mind. I just went to like Hogan and Warrior fucking listening to Kiss. I was made for loving you, baby. Like just dancing around together, smooching.
That's where you went, huh?
I guess. I don't know why. There we have it.
So besides the Rooster, I like the heel team here again.
Yeah, besides the Rooster.
Right. They're solid besides the Rooster.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got the Mega Powers who are, you know, capable of taking on anybody, but you got the King of the Ring, you got the Twin Towers, Million Dollar Man, and the Red Rooster. So they say that Coco is sporting a new James Brown-like haircut. What do you think of that do on the Birdman?
So I don't mind the haircut on Coco B. I really don't. The thing that bothered me while watching this is a little piece of editing snafu, I think. Because if you're looking at Coco, the WWF on the back of his trunks is blurred. But the damn watermark is still WWF. So I'm guessing when they had to scrub it all. Oh, yeah. They had to scrub all the WWF, like, logos and emblems off everything at one point.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking that when they went back and unscrubbed and made everything all dirty again, I think they missed this, man, which is weird. About they Coco's forgot about ass. Fucking Coco's ass, man. Unscrub that ass.
Is that a distraction for you?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit. What is a distraction? Seeing shit get blurred.
Yeah. Yeah, those were kind of, I remember those times. I had everything blurred. The turnbuckles, the whole bit.
Right. The DVD sets, man, those were rough to watch. The fucking blurred. Just, yeah. Not fun.
So on the outside, we got Slickster, Bobby the Brain, and Virgil for the heels, and Liz and Frankie the Bird for the faces. Got to give the advantage to the heels here.
I tell you what. I'd take Frankie the Bird over Liz.
Well, Ted and Randy get it started in a rematch of the finals of the for the world title at Mania 4. Savage gets the better of Ted before making the tag to the recently turned face Hercules. And man, then we have we have him and the Rooster going at it. Kind of one of those situations I wish those guys would have just, you know, battled to the back.
Yeah. How did you guys get double DQ'd? It'll be fine.
And Coco gets in there. This is kind of cool. We got the Battle of the Birds, right? Yeah. You got the cock and the parrot.
Bird, 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 do the bird.
And then the first taste of Akeem the African Dream. Does his dancing and whatnot. We're tagging in King Haku. So Hillbilly and the Hulkster, they combine for a double big boot onto the King. As we're told that Hillbilly Jim got his boots from the Hulkster.
Well, it's nice. It's a nice gesture.
Man, Henry O and Phineas, they're in the barn.
Well, no, they can't be. They're not around yet.
Well, future. This is a stable that's going to last, man.
Oh, gotcha. It's going to have the longest run of stable history. I'm in already. I hate farms because they stink, but I am in on the barn as a faction.
As hard of a sell as it would be to get Brad News, you know, being a face, Hillbilly's the same way in the, you know, such a likable guy. Big guy, too.
Yeah.
So Hillbilly Jimmy spreads the Rooster's legs, and this is a disappointment. He's looking around, you know, getting the cheers like, yeah, we want you to kick him right in the nuts. And then he doesn't.
He spreads his legs, and that's a disappointment.
I thought we were getting the Nard stomp.
Yeah, we didn't get it, man.
I got to ask you something here. We get another Battle of the Birds, and Coco lands a dropkick. Gorilla says he should go for the Ghostbuster. What the hell is a Ghostbuster?
I'm pretty sure that's his finish.
You know what it is?
Like a brain buster.
Oh, that makes sense. The buster.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah. He actually does that drop kick. You know, that drop kick is amazing. He does a quick fake out, right? Quick fake out. Turns around, kaboom! Top rope, D kick. The D is for drop in this situation.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hogan, he hits a big boot and a slam, and Savage hits the big elbow, and there goes Terry Taylor. He's not going to be missed.
No.
The Mega Powers team celebrate like they won the thing. And Bobby Heenan really gives it to the Rooster on the way out. He let him down.
Just be great. You're a fucking idiot. Get the fuck out of here. Remember how you told me you'd never let me down? What the hell do you think that was? You think I was making me proud? You think I was making me proud, Red Rooster? Why don't you cockwalk all the way back there? Fucking kill yourself.
your stupid fucking costume.
Yeah, nice fucking costume, you ass blaster.
So Haku and Hogan mix it up. Some more in the rematch for our last show. Hogan lays him out and tags in Herc. He lands an elbow with a weird kind of setup. Like he's skipping or stumbling or strutting on his way to the elbow.
I don't know what the fuck he's doing. I laugh so hard when I watch that. And it's one of those, you know, how, God, it was, you know, late 90s where everybody had like an elbow.
right? Or like an off the ropes leg drop. They do something cool.
Mm-hmm.
Austin had a deal. The Rock obviously had a deal. X-Pac had a deal. D'Lo Brown had a deal. Paul fucking Orndorff had a deal. You think Herc started the whole deal?
Ooh. Well, Hulkster, right?
But he didn't go off the ropes and then do anything special. He just off the ropes and leg drop.
Right. You mean like adding the theatrics?
Yeah, some theatrics.
He might have stumbled his way into it, right?
He might have. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, so Akeem mixes it up with the Hillbilly Jim for a while and hits him with a splash. Hillbilly's out of there. Coco lands another one of his big drop kicks. The rest of the team does a number on the big guy, but they can't seem to get him off his feet. Boss Man gets the tag, wastes no time, hitting a BM slam on the Birdman. He's out of there. Then we got a rematch of some recent shenanigans on Superstars where the Boss Man has been giving Hogan the business. The Hulkster hits a big atomic drop on him, hits a big boot. And it's a body slam. But that's not enough to put the Boss out. It's a spine buster out of nowhere, and then Hogan gets it from everybody.
Yeah, they really took turns kicking his ass.
Oh, yeah. Not looking good for the Hulkster here.
No.
Ted lands them falling fists. I like those falling fists.
They look nice. Yeah, you're right to like them.
Herc gets in there. He gets tripped up by Virgil. Then Ted rolls him up. Herc's out of there. Now we got the Mega Powers taking on four guys. Million Dollar Man's just lollygagging out there. Macho Man sneaks up behind him, rolls him up for a surprise pinfall.
This made me laugh pretty hard because Jake earlier had the ass out DDT. Right, we didn't get a blur. We got the WWF blurred on Coco Beast tights, but we still got the WWF watermark. And here we get Ted's ass out, and here we get a blur. What do you think they're hiding?
Ted's ass?
But why not hide Rick's ass?
Maybe Rick's ass was intentional, and Ted's ass wasn't supposed to happen.
Maybe. The only thing I could think of is you think that his tights went down far enough where there was some other exposure going on?
A little extra credit?
Right. Was there some extra credit going on?
That's very possible.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Because I think you can show an ass, but I mean, you can't be showing that extra business.
Right, yeah. An ass is fine. You can see, you show as much ass as you want, right? But as soon as you start showing the frontal assault, I think blurs come in.
Well, the numbers game is catching up to the Mega Powers here. As Hogan's looks like he might be a goner. Get that trapezius neck hold from the King. Hand drops twice, and then Hulkster digs deep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gets out of it. Then Boss Man hits a BM slam. Celebrates like he won the thing. Doesn't go for the pin. Instead, climbs to the top rope. Bad move. He misses the big splash. Seen that coming a mile away. Hulkster makes a hot tag into the champion. Goes in there, gives it to everybody. We're getting tripped up by the Slickster. And Slick goes after Liz and grabs her by the arm. Looks like he's trying to drag her to the back. Oh, yeah.
No, that's not it. No. Golly, there's something wrong with you. Yeah, he's a heel man, but it doesn't mean he gets to fucking drag her to the back for some, oh, yeah.
Well, Hulkster, the hero of the story here, he makes sure that doesn't happen.
Ah.
But then the Twin Towers really give it to the Hulkster. The Boss ends up handcuffing him to the bottom rope. He gets his ass counted out. But he really, man, he whips his stick out and really gives it to him.
Yeah. I'm okay with it. The thing that I don't understand is why isn't Hulkster being counted?
He's not the legal man.
I understand that, but he still has a responsibility to be in his corner.
Fair enough.
Right. Other thing I don't like about this is when Boss is choking Hulkster, and I don't know, this is the way I heard it, and I don't know if I'm right or not. So I got to preface it that way. Boss is choking Hulkster on the outside. He is not in the match anymore. And you hear an official counting.
Well, I mean, you kind of give the Hulkster a break, right? I mean, he's getting the shit beat out of him by a guy. And he's handcuffed.
But why would the official be counting?
This Boss Man was a legal guy.
No, the Boss Man was DQ'd.
So they're still counting?
Yes, they're on the outside. Hulkster is cuffed to the bottom rope. Boss Man's beating the wild shit out of Hulk Hogan. He takes the nightstick. He's got the nightstick wrapped around Hulkster's neck. And you hear the official counting. Why would you count in that situation?
I don't know.
You think it's like a parent that does the counting gimmick with their kids? Like, you're being bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about. He's trying to get the Boss Man to,
right,
to leave the Hulkster
alone.
It
doesn't make any fucking sense.
No.
You're being bad. That's one. That's two. Oh, three's coming next. That's three. Don't you dare let me get to five. Boss Man, that's four. What are you doing? Knock it off.
Akeem hits a splash on the champion, but then he shoves Hebner and gets disqualified. So now we got Haku against the Mega Powers. Slickster's shaking them keys, taunting the Hulkster. Meanwhile, King Haku continues to put the hurt on the match. So Slick holds Savage and takes an accidental kick from Haku. And then Liz proves her worth as she gets a hold of the keys and frees the Hulkster.
Oh, fuck you.
They were done, man.
She does not prove her worth.
She got the keys.
She walked over there and pickpocketed the poor man. Stole his keys. No, proves her worth.
Well, she...
that's, here's the fucking problem with this. She does one goddamn thing. She walked over and got keys. And you're praising her.
Got her the win.
No praise is deserved in this situation. All she did was walk over and get keys. She didn't add any flair for the dramatics in it, right? She didn't do anything extra special as she was doing it. She simply walked over and grabbed keys.
How would you have rather, did you want her to add some more theatrics?
Add some theatrics, man. Some, like, drama.
Kick him in the junk, maybe?
No, maybe
kick
don't
Slickster kick Slickster in the junk?
No, don't kick Slickster in the junk. Don't do that.
I'm trying to help here, man.
But you should struggle, right? Where are the keys? I got to find them. Right? Got to find them. Maybe a little, I don't know, concerned look on the face. Fucking something. She doesn't do shit.
Oh, she frees up the Hulkster, who makes short work of Haku. Body slam, leg drop, Savage lands the elbow, and the Mega Powers are victorious. She was responsible for getting Hulkster out of the cuffs, man.
You don't think Randy could have come back and beat Haku with a Hulkster to fucking cuff to the ropes?
Randy was in bad shape, man.
I think that's crap. All this Liz fair is just too much.
That's it for the main event, but Hulkster picks up Liz in a celebratory squeeze as Mach gives him a look. Like, hey, what you doing there, big guy?
Don't worry about it.
They pose to close, and that's it, man. So,
all right. what did you think?
It was a little harder to watch than I remembered. I think part of that had to do with, you know, trying to take notes on the spots, right?
Okay. Yep.
That tag team match had so much talent in it, but it was. There was maybe 100 or more tags. It seemed like they were just doing it just to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But they got all our all the guys we like to see from this era are here, and you know, there's a few bright spots, but a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably the least enjoyable watch so far this run. With that being said, I'll still take it over, I think, every TNA episode we watched and every Dying Days of WCW event we covered, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's still some fun. You got to see Andre choke the life out of Jake.
Yeah, that was amazing. That made the watch worth it for me.
Andre did not disappoint.
No, he never does. That's a guy that doesn't disappoint. That's a guy that doesn't let you down. Andre. Red Rooster, he'll let you down and disappoint you every time you see him.
Oh, that's for sure. Well, when we did our preview episode, this was one of the ones you were looking forward to.
I was excited about, yeah.
Do you think it's this one in particular? Do you recall maybe the first one being better? How do you think they
I think I remembered the first one. You know what I mean? I think 80, yeah, how was it? The first one, I think the first three, I have a tendency to get mixed up. So that's probably where my excitement loomed.
Yeah, first one was Team Andre, Team Hulkster.
Right.
Main event. And I think Team Hockey, Team Steamer? Or no, Team Hockey, Team Savage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We've been, for years after they stopped doing this format, we'd, you know, been crying for them to bring it back. And they kind of got back now with the War Games type idea, but
it's adjacent, but yeah.
Yeah, this might be the weakest of kind of the golden era of these.
Right. Yeah, I don't disagree. I got, because next we're going to Saturday's main event, number 18. So this is just going to be a treat, man. Are you ready?
Are you going to like this one better than the series?
I pretty much guarantee I already like it better than the series. I haven't started watching it yet. I've seen this event before, but Super Ninja with Mr. Fuji is taking on the Ultimate Warrior.
Who's that?
Super Ninja.
Never heard of him.
Oh, well, you'll find out about Super Ninja. We got Ted DiBiase. He's taking on the Hercules.
Some sort of slave owner type match.
It's just such a... Anyways. Got Randy with the useless Elizabeth. He's taking on Andre with Bobby.
She'll probably make an assist for the win.
Probably not. She doesn't do anything.
That's a good match, though. Andre getting a title shot.
Andre and Savage, yeah. That's fantastic. I've got Boris Zukov is taking on Jimmy Duggan. Looks like no Nico.
Throw Nico in there.
Yeah. Then we got, where are we at here? The Young Stallions are taking on the Fabulous Rougeaus.
All right.
Yep, that's what I thought too. All right. I'm okay with that. Where's Nico?
He might come in for the save.
All right. I'll be happy to see him. I think I like him more now that we're calling him Nico than I did before when he was just Nikolai.
You like Nico, huh?
Nikai Volkov sounds like a badass dude.
Oh, he is a badass dude, man.
Right? Nico's the guy you want to hang out with.
Yeah, he's probably a good time. I mean, go out to some karaoke with him. He likes to sing.
He does love to sing. He's not bad at it either.
Well, with that, I think we're about halfway through our trek here. The WWF between WrestleMania 4 and 5. So we got a lot more to come. Got two big shows and several of these main events. So I think you can tune in. I think this is episode 7, so we'll see you next time. I'm Duke Bags.
And it's Kevin. You slide one in there.
Pull it on in.
Slide it in there.
Pull it out.
You slide it here.
Pull it out.
You slide it here. You suck it for me one time. You suck it for me one time. I'll pull it out. You suck it for me one time.
Pull it out.
Slide it here.
I'll suck it for me one time.